It is, as Aunt Lynn prayed, to have all these little kids' voices in here. It's such a wonderful privilege to know that, you know, people tend to look at our children, and I think we've said this before, as the church of tomorrow, but they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now. They're right now, and this is the best place to raise our kids and to have our kids. And this morning, with a little bit of a special focus on our kids, I think our time together here, I hope our time together here is going to be a very profound one. Because I don't know about you guys, but for the first time in my 18 years in the ministry, I've got the privilege of sharing the sacraments, and not only sharing both of the sacraments, but standing still, and we get to bear witness to this and celebrate this. And we're going to be doing it a little bit differently than what we usually do. And I'm going to be asking some of the kids a few questions, if that's okay with you. And if you feel like a kid, please feel free to answer as well. But seeing as they're here, I thought it was a good idea. And seeing as just, you know, the moment calls for it, Uncle Mike, great moment to speak about the sacraments and to stand still and just celebrate these. Now, before we begin, is there any one of you young'uns that might know what the sacraments are and what a sacrament is? Who of you know? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. That's one of them, and we're going to be seeing that this morning, Rosie. And the other one is the communion table. And I think this is such a brilliant time to stand still here. And we as Hillside, and I don't think it's just unique to us, but we as Hillside believe that there are two sacraments or ordinances. We use the term interchangeably, right? And it's the Lord's Supper and it's the baptism that we're going to be speaking about as we go. And we're going to try and keep it short and sweet for the kids' sake as well. But what are sacraments? Who can tell me? Who of you guys can tell me? What are sacraments? Yeah, okay. You got it right again, Rosie. Right again. When you think sacraments, what do you think of? Let's maybe throw this one at the grown-ups. Yeah, we think of all of these beautiful things. These sacraments that we celebrate, right? They're outward signs or symbols of what God has done inside us, right? And I think this is such a beautiful thing that we should understand. When we think sacraments, we should think, our minds should immediately go to the completed, fulfilled, perfect work of Jesus on the cross, right? Where he gave his life for us, where he died and died in our place, where he took the punishment for our sin. He didn't have any sin. He took our sin. He paid for our sin. His blood was shed. He was buried, and then he was resurrected. He rose from the grave. He conquered death, and he bought us a victory and an eternity with him that nothing can compare to. That's where I want your minds to go whenever we think sacraments. When we speak about sacraments, the very easy way of looking at them is that they are signs and symbols and things too, in particular, that we celebrate and that we recognize that point people to the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So sacraments point to Jesus. Easy. Easy way to remember it, right? So next time you think sacraments, your mind must immediately go, Jesus' completed work on the cross. And I think that's where we need to, I think, also very clearly understand that the sacraments in and of themselves, they are not salvific. They do not offer salvation. Sacraments in and of themselves, like the baptism and like the communion, salvation is not attached to them in that you need to do this in order to be saved. These are reflections and I think responses, symbols, pointing to the fact that we are saved. We don't do this so that we can get saved. This is our response because we are saved. Because we are saved, we get together and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate communion. This so that we can be reminded of Jesus' complete work on the cross. When we do baptisms, it reminds us of the completed work of Jesus on the cross. So these sacraments testify to what Jesus has already accomplished for us and on our behalf. We don't do this so that we can get saved, right? Everybody clear there? Wonderful, wonderful. Now, back to the kiddos. Have you kiddos seen how we sometimes eat the little pieces of bread or these cookie-like things, these things that Aunt Joyce makes that are incredible, and everybody wants the recipe, Aunt Joyce, just so you know. Have you guys seen that we do this?
Yeah.
And the pass around the little thingies of juice?
Yeah.
Do you guys know what it is and what it means? Let's go for it.
It's wine, and Jesus said that it's the blood of him.
Yes. It's the wine or the juice is his blood. Oh, man. Sarah, you're doing a great job. And kids' church teachers, you guys are invaluable, doing a wonderful job. I just want you guys to know that. And what does the cookie or the bread represent, Rosie?
It represents his skin.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that, Rosie. It represents his body, yeah. And is this a normal little snack? It's not. What is this? It's something that we do so that we can remember, right? And I think that this is such a beautiful thing. We remember what Jesus did on the cross. Now, who of you kiddos can help me with what Jesus did on the cross?
There we go again.
He died on the cross for our sins.
For our sins.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Again, Sarah, well done. And kids' church teachers, love you guys. That's beautiful. And that's what it's about, right? That's what this is all about. And in Matthew 26, Jesus speaks about what his body and what his blood represents. In Matthew 26, from verse 26, they were busy in the night that he was going to be betrayed, the last night that he was spending with his disciples before the cross the very next morning. And in verse 26, he says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to them, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Rosie, is this bread that represents Jesus' body and the juice that represents his blood, is it his real body and his real blood?
No.
No, it's not his actual body and his actual blood. What are they? Can you help me? Do you remember? A representation, yeah. It's a representation of Jesus' body and his blood. It symbolizes Jesus' body that was broken on the cross so that we could have healing and live and be spiritually renewed and born again. It represents his blood that was shed to pay for our sins and wash us white as snow. Now, maybe a last question. Why do we do this again? Rosie, do you remember? So that we can remember, right? We can remember what Jesus did for us in dying for our sin, dying in our place, taking a punishment that was not his to take, because our sin is it good or bad?
Bad.
It's bad, right? And our sin separates us from Christ and from God. And this is what Jesus did in order to bring us back to the Father. And I think that this is such a beautiful thing that he did for us. It's truly more amazing than what we could ever imagine. And you know what that means, guys? Do you guys know what that means, that Jesus would do this? It means that he loves us, Aunt Kim. He loves you guys so very much. So very much. So much more than what you could ever imagine. Now, what we're going to be doing now is we're going to be partaking in this communion. And I'm going to ask the gentlemen that are going to come and help us share this to please come forward and help us. And then I want to ask the parents something special. I want to ask you to minister the communion, the elements, to your kids. And if you want to, pray with them, share it with them, help them see Jesus. Point them to Jesus in this. Because this is what it's about. It's about pointing us to Jesus. And this is why we do this. This is why the sacraments are celebrated in church and in our church, so that we can always be mindful of Christ. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to start with the bread. And as we hand it out, I want you to hold on to it, okay? Hold on to it for us. We're all going to be partaking together. And as they were eating, 26, Uncle Ron, you guys are so welcome. You guys can pass it out so long. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He said, thank you. And then he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, eat. This is my body that was broken so that you may be made whole, so that you may be forgiven. Jesus standing in our place is something that just blows my mind every time I think about it. Because we don't deserve this love. We don't deserve this grace. We didn't deserve that. But he comes and he just, that's what he does. That's what he does. That's the Savior we have. Amen. That's the Savior we have. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. Wonderful. So kids, when we think of this, what do we think of? Jesus' body, right? Jesus' body that was broken for us on our behalf to ransom us, to pay for a sin that was not his, it was ours. And whenever we celebrate this, this is where your mind must go. So we thank him for his body. Jesus, we thank you for giving yourself so that we might be made whole. We thank you, Jesus, for the love that you lavished upon us by coming down to earth, trading heaven and a throne for this place that is so broken and a crib. Lord, for trading the praises and the worship of angels for the curses of men. Oh, Lord, this speaks of a love that is so much greater than what we could ever know. And we thank you for this. And I know that we said it already. Thank you is way, way, way smaller word and too small a word to capture the gratitude in our hearts. But thank you, Lord. Thank you. This will never grow old. We praise you for giving yourself. In Jesus' name. And the exact same thing happened when he took the cup. And when he had taken the cup, he poured it out and he gave thanks. And then he took it to them and he gave it to them and he said, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Uncle Mike. Poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And it's his blood by which we are purchased. It's his blood that washes us whiter than snow. It's his blood that was poured out for you and for me. And in this, there is life and life eternal. For all those who trust in him, Uncle Sam, all those who trust in him will not be put to shame. Our hope, our faith that we place in Christ Jesus, it's not hope or faith wasted. It's not hope or faith put in a place that is going to be here today and gone tomorrow. You're not hoping and trusting in vain. We have a sure thing in a Savior that laid his life down for us. And if he bought you with his precious blood, how much more will he not keep you? He won't let you slip. you were way too costly for him to let you slip. And that's a beautiful thought right there as well. And I wonder what it does in your heart this morning to hear that. Not only did he give himself, not only did he pay the price once, but he's going to finish what he started. The good work he started, he's going to finish it. He will finish it. He promises that. He promises it. Amen. Yeah, thank you. So Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed. For the forgiveness of our sins, to purchase us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us new. Lord, and in this you took upon yourself the wrath, the justice, the judgment that was waiting for me, for us. And you drank that cup in that garden that night, Lord. And you turn it over and not a drop of that wrath falls on us. Not a drop of judgment falls on us. Not a drop of condemnation falls on us. Because of your perfect sacrifice. We thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. In your precious and wonderful name. Amen. And that's the first sacrament this morning. The second sacrament that we're going to be celebrating now in a short while is baptism. And who of you kiddos can help me with what the baptism represents? What is baptism? What do you guys think? What are your thoughts? Let's go for it.
Washing your sins off you.
I like it. I'll take that. That's a beautiful one. What do you guys think? Is there another answer here? There we go.
We're going to go start with you.
To wash your sins away.
Yeah.
To start a new life.
I like that. So, baptism symbolizes and represents the washing away of our sins 100%. It symbolizes and represents new life. And once again, the baptism of the believer points to the completed work of Christ on the cross, right? And this is just a beautiful thing, and we can never escape this. And never should we get confused by thinking that it's baptism itself that does this. No. Jesus does this. Baptism just represents that and symbolizes that and helps us remember what Jesus has done. When we are baptized, what happens? Do you guys know? Let's go for it again. This is going to make for very bad streaming, just so you guys know.
You get forgiven by Jesus?
Yeah, we are forgiven by Jesus, but when you get baptized, it's got to do with water, right? What happens in that? Do you know? You go down, you get dunked under the water, but it's really not scary at all. I know that some people fear this. So when you get baptized, kiddos, you get submerged under the water. And this is symbolic of how as you get submerged under the water, the old man dies, the sinful man dies. And as you get raised up out of the water, the new man lives and you reign with Christ and you live with Christ. So that's the new life that he was speaking of that takes place and that happens there. And I think that this is a beautiful thing. In Romans chapter 6, we see the picture of exactly this. And we shared this, I think, two or so weeks ago when we spoke about the baptism not too long ago. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, and see this picture. See the picture here. He says, do you know or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, what does it mean to be baptized into Christ Jesus? It means that we are just saved by him. We find ourselves in him. Because of what he has done, he bought us with his blood. We become his. We are baptized into Christ, so we belong to him. We were baptized into his death. So we were buried, therefore, with him in baptism or by baptism into death. Yeah, we see again this picture. The old man dies in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. So we see this picture of a death taking place. What death takes place? The death of the old man takes place. And then we see a new life coming and happening and being born. And what's that new life? That's when Jesus regenerates us, when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, when we go from being dead in our sin to being made alive with Him, when He takes out our heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. And this is such a beautiful thing, an imagery that we see here. Now, again, very, very, very important to understand that baptism does not save you. Baptism does not save you. Neither does the communion. It doesn't save you. All this does is it points us to Christ Jesus. It points us to the Lord. And these sacraments are things that we celebrate in order that we can celebrate the fact that we are united with Christ, that we are connected with Him forever and ever and ever. And we are, through the communion that we are to take as much as what we are able to, we are reminded about this sacrifice, reminded about this. And this is symbols and remembrances of how we are connected with Him through His perfect work. And this not only connects us or shows that we are connected to Him, but this in a very profound way shows that we are all family. God's children connected to one another in a very, very, very beautiful way. So now we're going to move ahead with that. And we're going to baptize a few of our church family members here this morning that have decided to publicly declare and identify with Christ. And I think that this is such a beautiful thing, because once again, it speaks of what Christ has done and that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Praise the Lord. No turning back. And while we get ready, I know there's scripture that Scott wants to read. And I also know, we still want to do that? You still want? Yeah, okay. And I also know that while we get ready, we're going to take a couple of minutes. There's a beautiful video of exactly this. Going from being dead in our sin to being made alive in Christ, that I want to show you guys. And in this, you're going to see a very beautiful picture of the fact that it's not about the mode or the method. Even though we understand that the pattern is being submerged, there are some times when that's just not possible. And then we shouldn't be fighting and squabbling about the how it's done. We should always remember the why it's done. And the why is all because of Jesus. Amen.
We read in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And we read in Acts 22, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And again in Acts 8, the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Tarek, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I am His.
I'm going to ask Mary, you can press play on that video so long, and then the rest of you guys. Terry, you are so welcome to join us. And Rosie, well, I don't know how we're going to get through this morning without filling up that bath with tears.
privilege of witnessing a true believer obey the Lord Jesus into the waters of baptism. This is Brandon Maya, and as you can see, Brandon has decided to take extenuating circumstances all the way into opportunity, and to say, instead of "I have a reason to not be baptized," he's insisted he wants to obey Jesus Christ into the waters of baptism. And so, just for clarity, when we see a baptism, we need to remember a couple of things. Number one, this is not salvation. Brandon is saved because Jesus saved him. He heard the gospel and he believed, and that was the work of the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, seated him in heavenly places with Christ, the Bible says, and gave him eternal life. His sins are already washed away. What this is an outward symbol, an act of obedience that he's doing right here. And this is really, in the Bible, the first act of obedience that every Christian is commanded to take, is to follow the Lord in his command for them to be baptized. And so if you're not yet baptized, I encourage you, church family, listen, that is obedience to Jesus. And once you obey this, it's everything else becomes easier to obey him. So if you've not been baptized, you need to do that. There are no excuses. And my brother right here is actually proof of that. So this is a symbol of being buried with Christ in death and being raised again to walk in newness of life. The water is a picture of going into the grave just as Jesus did. We were crucified with Christ, and nevertheless we live. Yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, the life Brandon now lives, Galatians 2 says, he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself up for him. And so based on that, what I want to do is I want to ask Brandon, he's gonna read, as it were, his testimony. What he did was he recorded this earlier. He speaks through an iPad, through some technology, and we recorded that, and this is Brandon's testimony. Brother, we'd love to hear it.
I grew up in a loving Christian home with parents who taught me about Jesus from an early age. However, throughout my young life, I battled with sins of the flesh. I kept them secret for many years, for I knew all the verses. I knew Jesus had said in Matthew 5, 27 through 28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. One day on November 4th of 2008, my life was changed. While a senior in high school, I suffered a massive brain hemorrhage, a colossal blood clot, and various many strokes. This affected my entire body and created a whole new set of physical and emotional challenges. It was during this time, through the faithful teaching of the gospel, that I gained a deeper understanding of my sin and my deserved judgment for my sin against God. My hope is in Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and took my judgment on himself. For I know Jesus had compassion on my life, and I also know he has only saved me for his own glory, so that I would be a trophy of his grace. For it is written in Ephesians 2, 7, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God has grown me away from my earlier fleshly desires, and now, although I continue to battle my current trial, I'm living proof that God redeems sinners from their sin, and also when there are seemingly impossible circumstances, God will give you the strength to press on if you put your trust and hope in Jesus.
Well, Brandon, this is a little bit different baptism because of medical concerns. There's not going to be a full immersion. You have to protect but we're going to baptize him over his body and a sponge on his head. And guess what? That's enough for Jesus. He's okay. Is that right? Brandon, brother, based upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Would you agree with me and let's pray? Father, thank you so much for your servant, Brandon. Thank you for the days that you've given him. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, that he's been obedient in following you into the waters of baptism. Lord, bless him, we pray. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, we look to the day when we dance with him in heaven before your throne. Thank you for your life, death, and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord one last hand.
And one of the things that just stood out for me there is Brandon's testimony of how we are trophies of God's grace. What a beautiful way of putting it. With that in mind, we're going to go ladies first, if that's okay. And Terry, it's such a privilege to be on this journey with you and your husband and your family. And yeah, based on your profession of faith, it's really my privilege to baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to hand this. Use her, that you'd bless her, that you'd have your favor just break loose over her, and we honor you for your saving work that we can see in her life, Lord. She is truly a trophy of your grace, and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus for this. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay. Scott. Oh. It's really such a privilege ever since getting to know you guys. This is such a big thing for me to be a part of this and to know you guys, to serve the Lord with you guys, and to have you as my brother, a fellow warrior in Christ. And I'm so excited to see what God's not only doing in you, but what he's going to be doing in you. And I just honor the Lord for saving you and that we can run this race together. And we praise him for that. And based on your profession of faith this morning, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we praise you for saving us. We know, Jesus, that you don't save us halfway. You do a perfect, complete work in the cross for each and every one of us. Thank you for doing a complete and perfect work in Scott. And thank you for using him, God. Thank you for just doing what you do. And Lord, our hope and our heart's desire, our longing is that you be glorified in and through us, in and through him, with every step of this way. As they, as a family, grow closer to you, glorifying you, being an example to the rest of us. Our prayer is, God, that you'd keep them, protect them, make your face shine upon them, use them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is a privilege that I had no idea was waiting for me. But there's a couple of these moments when your kids decide to follow Jesus, when they acknowledge and understand God loves her so much. And then obviously the day that she's going to get married, but she's not going to get married. She's going to look after her parents. But there are a couple of moments like this that are just such an amazing privilege. And you can just... With both legs?
No.
Okay, leave it. It's okay, Bear. It's okay. And one of the things that amazes me about this child, and I wish we could say that we have privilege to, you know, have a role in this, but this is all just God. She is so excited, and she tells people about Jesus all the time. One of the recent occasions was in Chick-fil-A when she made a new friend, and she comes hurrying back excitedly saying, I told her about Jesus because I want my friends to know about Jesus. And this is just such a beautiful thing, a humbling thing. And Rosie, because of the love of Christ, we are excited to baptize you because you love him and because he saved you. And because you believe that with all of your heart and can't stop talking about it. We thank Jesus for this, Rosie, my lovey. And it's my honor to, based on your profession of faith, that we can baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That brings us to the end of our service and our time together this morning. If you guys want to know more about baptism, about all of these other things, or if you haven't, if you're wrestling with it, I'd like to invite you to, you know, if you have not yet been baptized, speak to us. And it's such a joyous occasion, a joyous moment where we get to celebrate what God has done in you, with you, and do this together as a church family. I'm going to hand it over to Brett, and he's going to take us out with the last song and on Sandy. And thank you guys very, very much. Love you guys so much. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Aunt Sandy.